Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. And then I'll be going to the book of Numbers, chapter 6. No, sister, you can stand. We always stand. Yeah, you can stand if you stand all by yourself. Amen. Stand for Jesus and let the world go by. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. If you have that, say amen. The Bible said, "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Chapter 6 of the book of Numbers. Chapter 6 of the book of Numbers. Verses 24 through 26. Numbers chapter 6, 24, 25, 26. The Bible said, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings, said the Hebrew writer. Moses telling us in the book of Numbers, the Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. He will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I want to preach this morning on I saw the captain smile. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for this morning, Lord. I know we've got a lot of stirring going on. We've got children sick. Father, would you help us saints to be more focused this morning, to have our minds right here at this point, at this moment. And God, I pray that I can deliver this message as you've given it to me, and that you would encourage, that you would strengthen and challenge us. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. Now I realize that there's been a lot of preaching, a lot of things said about storms. I've preached a lot about storms, even some, you know, quite a bit lately, just exhorting about storms. But I don't mean to be so repetitive, but I feel that I must preach again this morning on the storm. And I want to preach on I saw the captain smile. Now, nowhere in the Bible, I don't find any instance in the Word of God that we are told that life would be a bed of roses. Nowhere are we told that if we serve God, nothing bad would ever happen. Scripture doesn't even remotely hint at us living a scot-free life. No trials, no temptations, no death, no pain, no storm, nothing. The Bible doesn't give us that kind of picture. As a matter of fact, and if I can be perfectly honest with you, the Word of God teaches us the exact opposite. The Bible tells us in the book of Job, chapter 14, verse 1, that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We know that God is good. We know that. We know that God will help us when trouble comes. But trouble will come. It will come. We know that there are seasons in life that God will give us a reprieve from the cruelty of this world. But Jesus stated in Matthew 5:45, he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the just, or on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. We've got to accept the fact that we are in a suffering world. A world so full of pain, a world so full of anxiety, that men and women are jumping off of roofs. They are hanging themselves by their necks. They are slicing their wrists. They are taking deadly doses of medication in order to escape this life. Apostle Paul told the Romans that death would pass over every man.
Solomon told us in Ecclesiastes that time and chance happen to every man. Life will take its course. And instead of running, instead of hiding, men must learn to cope. They must learn to deal with what is coming upon them. And with that said, so should Christians be that much more able to cope and to deal with the problems at hand. We're not above trouble. We are not above trials. We are not above tribulations. We are not above being rocked by the storm. Jesus said in John 16 and 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." I'd like to have your attention, you young people especially. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and 12, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And then the psalmist David told us in Psalms 34 and 19 that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Trouble is something that all men share in. And in a very real sense, every man becomes my brother and every woman becomes my sister in that we suffer in this life. The storm comes to the fool. The storm comes to the wise man. The storm comes to the rich man. The storm comes to the poor man. The thing that I must ask us this morning is, will your house still be standing when the morning comes? Somebody shout amen. Amen. There's a very interesting passage in the book of Job. Job 17, 11, Job said, "My days are past. My purposes are broken off. Even the thoughts of my heart." You have to agree with me. Job knew what trouble was about. If anybody could testify, "I know trouble," Job could understand trouble. He knew what it meant to suffer. He knew what it meant to suffer the storm. And here Job gives us a very intimate detail concerning the effects of this horrid storm that had swept over his life. He said that it had caused him to question his purpose in life. And not only that, but life's purpose in general. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to the place that you weren't real sure about how things were going, and you were less sure and less certain about where they were going? You're uncertain about how it was, and you really didn't know in which direction you were going. I think the saints of God, if we're not careful, we're going to fall into this great epidemic that I'm seeing sweep the movement of the God's people, and that is a lack of direction in the house of God. I'm seeing a lack of direction in individual lives. I'm seeing a lack of direction in congregations in general. And one of the first things that a successful corporation does when they're hiring somebody on is they give them a mission statement. They tell that person why the company exists. They tell that person how it got to where it is and where it's going. And then they tell them their plans on getting to that place. It speaks of purpose. And I believe that God has a mission. I believe that God has a purpose in every person's life. But Satan and sometimes life, it wants to break those purposes into a million pieces. It leaves us scattered. It leaves us perplexed. And it leaves us wondering which way to go. Say amen. Confused by a constant bombardment of waves and plundering rain. We need to know what our purpose is. Job said, tells us that there was a time in his life that he was uncertain about his purpose in this life. Young men and women really suffer from this, probably more so than a 50-year-old man would. I read a few weeks ago that the 50s is a man's prime. The 30s is the most stressful, anxious time of his life because he's trying to get somewhere and he realizes time is short. 40s is a little better, but by this time he's 50, he's pretty much should be established, know where he's at, know where he's going, and the stress level goes down.
But of 15, 16, 17, I'd hate to be 18 years old this morning and not really knowing what direction I'm going, because the enemy, if he can, he will cause you to be so uncertain about your purpose in life and the direction that it's going. He's going to tell you that what you're doing now is all you're going to ever do, that man's never going to come, that woman's never going to come, it's never going to happen. But the devil is a liar, and all he's trying to do is confuse you and try to get you to seek purpose somewhere outside the house of God. Amen. Now, Job had been reduced to almost nothing. The storm and winds that he faced had broken him. Job was a broken man. I need you to focus this morning. I found that very often God tells his people what he wants them to be, but either they don't listen or they don't like what he tells them. Amen. I've had to force myself to think about past conversations that I've had with God, and so I could just remember his purpose in my life and the direction that God had told me that I was going. I will be perfectly honest with you, brothers and sisters. There's been times in the last year at God's Miracle Mission that I had to stand back and say, God, I don't see, I don't know, I don't understand. And then I'd have to go on back a little further when God had spoken to me and God had talked to me, and I pulled from the cabinet of my memory and I said, all right, devil, I see what you're doing, but it doesn't change the fact that God has given me a direction and wants me to stay the course. Amen. Amen. I may not see him, but I can promise you he is there, and what he told you will come to pass if you will hold on to God. Amen. Now we see this story unfolding, and I would like to ask you to pray, think hard, meditate. If you're one of those in here this morning and you really don't know, I guarantee you that if you'll go back far enough, if I can say far enough, you will find somewhere in your life God spoke to you at some point and gave you some direction. And when all else fails, and you have no idea where to go next, go back to the last place that God spoke to you and hold on to that word from God, because he will come back to you in due season. And in fact, God has never left you, but sometimes he lets his people walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. The Bible's got much to say about wind, rain, storms. But it makes mention of this something called the east wind. I want to talk to you about the east wind for a moment. The Bible talks about the east wind 19 times. I'll give you a couple of examples. Job 27, 21. The east wind carrieth him away, and he departeth, and as a storm hurleth him out of his place. Jeremiah 18, 17. I will scatter them as with the east wind before the enemy. I will shew them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. The east wind, it's a wicked, horrid wind. In Palestine, this wind blows off a burning desert, and because of that, it's destitute of moisture, and it does not bring any life to the vegetation. It's interesting to note that in the Bible, nearly all destruction done to corn or fruit by wind, mildew, or locust is attributed to the east wind. If the locust came, it's because the east wind brought them. Very interesting. In Egypt, it's peculiarly destructive because it comes to the parched deserts of Arabia, often killing vast numbers of men and women. The destructive nature of the east wind is mentioned by almost all travelers in that part of the world. A man by the name of Bruce, he spoke of his travels in Egypt. On their way to Syene, their guide, seeing one of those destroying blasts coming, he cried with a loud voice to the company, "Fall upon your faces, for here is the east wind." And Mr. Bruce said, "I saw from the southeast a haze come in color like the purple part of the rainbow, but not so compressed or thick." He said it did not occupy 20 yards in breadth and was about 12 feet high from the ground. He said, it was kind of blush upon the air, and it moved very rapidly, for I scarce could turn to fall upon the ground with my head northward when I felt the heat of its current plainly upon my face. He said, we all lay flat upon the ground as if dead till our guide told us that it was blown over. Listen closely. The meteor or purple haze which I saw was indeed past, but the light air that still blew was of a heat to threaten suffocation. For my part, I found distinctly in my breast that I had imbibed a part of it, nor was I free from an asthmatic sensation till I had been some months in Italy at a bath of Peretta near 2 years afterwards. On another occasion, the whole company were made ill by one of these plague-like blasts, so that they barely had the strength to load their camels. The action of this destructive wind is referred to by the prophet Hosea in Hosea 13 and 15. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come, the wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up, and he shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. Have you ever had your gardens blasted by an east wind? Have you ever had the breath knocked out of you by an east wind? I mean, though many storms pass over and life goes back to normal, I must confess that I have seen some east winds that affected me for weeks. They affected me for months, and some have even affected me for years after the fact. And there are some here this morning that were blasted by an east wind, blasted by a scorching east wind. And it has left you asthmatic. It has left you suffocated. And it makes weathering lesser storms harder than normal. I was praying about some of you and the things you were going through. And I thought, God, they overcame that hurricane. This storm is about to kill them. And he spoke to me. And he said, they haven't recuperated from the east wind yet. And it makes the overcoming storms today a little harder, because they have been blasted by the east wind.
Amen. I feel the power of God here this morning. I want to pray for you this morning. I've been praying for you. I'm praying that you don't give up during the storm. You can't quit during the east wind. You got to hold on a little bit longer. We read about those disciples in the Sea of Tiberias. Now I know that Jesus fed the 5,000 on that side. And I know they're laying them out on the streets over in Capernaum. There's abundance of miracles over there. But Jesus had commanded them to go. But if you don't make it through the storm, it doesn't matter what happened back there. And it certainly doesn't matter what happens over there. If you die in the storm, what happened in the past does not matter. If you go down while on the sea, all is lost. If you allow an east wind to destroy you, nothing else matters. Of all the places that the east wind is mentioned, I believe that my favorite is Isaiah 27 and 8. The man of God said, he stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. He says that the east wind has come. Its fiery blast has breathed upon him. The east wind is suffocating his people. But Isaiah noticed something very profound. A God was staying the rough wind. It could have been worse. There was something else waiting to sweep over them. But God raised his mighty hand and he pushed back the rough wind. If you think this is bad, you ought to see what God is holding back from you. If you think what you're going through is bad now, I pray God open their eyes and let them see what you're holding back for them, what you're not allowing to get to them. God is merciful in only allowing us to go through an east wind. In the day of the east wind, God has held up the rough wind. Amen. I know that you may be feeling the effects of an east wind.
But I'm wondering if we could just take a moment this morning to lift our hands in the air and thank God for the things that He is protecting us from. The east wind has been enough, and the addition of a rough wind could have been your last. It could be the end of you. And so God said, I'm going to hold back the rough wind. I'm just wondering this morning if there's anybody here that can just take a moment to thank God for holding back and thwarting the enemy's ultimate plan of total chaos and total destruction. But God says you can only go this far. You cannot go past this. She's my girl. He's my boy. And I'll bankrupt heaven before I allow the rough wind to take my daughter down. I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm in pain. I'm worried. I'm troubled. But I still have the Holy Ghost. I'm still saved. I'm still in the house of God this morning. I'm still praying. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. And the Holy Ghost is my God. I'm still in the house this morning. Help us, Holy. Come on, church. God's trying to minister this morning. You're not alone. God is watching you. I heard a story, and it's what inspired this message this morning. A newly wedded couple were on their way to a honeymoon. Just so happens they took a ship. It was a smaller vessel, but a pretty good sized ship. And while they were on that vessel, a storm set in upon them. And it was a terrible, terrible tempest. Days went by, 2 or 3, 4 days, a storm just settled in upon them. But it wasn't just a normal storm, Brother Johnson. It was throwing the ship from side to side. Every picture on the wall had fallen. The tables had been scattered all over, the chairs sliding back and forth. I mean, if you've been out on the sea any at all, you'll understand what I'm talking about. It's tossing and turning and rain falling and filling up everything. And the man and his wife could do nothing but hold on to each other. And they slid from one side of the room to the next. It was almost unbearable, and they began to get sick, and they began to throw up and vomit, and they became scared and thought they were going to die. And so the husband decided, I'm going to go try to find the captain, and I'm going to ask the captain if he thinks we're going to make it. And so he went out of his cabin and he made his way down the hall, staggering, stumbling, and he came out upon the helm of the ship, and there was the old captain, had himself strapped in the seat, had his hands on the wheel, and he looked back and saw that man and said not a word, but he smiled and turned back and kept on going. The man went back to the cabin and he says, sweetheart, it's going to be all right. No need to fear anymore. And she said, oh, is the storm about over? He said, no, it's worse than it's ever been. Oh, did the captain tell you something? He said, no. How do you know it's going to be all right? He said, I saw the captain smile, and I knew that he had sailed storms like this in the past, and he's going to get us through this one now. And I know some here have been rocked and thrown for many days now. Pastor has seen the captain smile. I said, I've seen the captain smile, and I am sure, and I have been assured by him that he has seen storms like this. And as a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul tells us that this is an absolute law of God. For in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, the man of God said, for there hath no temptation taken you
such as is common to man. In other words, someone else has been there too. Someone else has weathered a storm like this before you, and there's a good chance somewhere tonight there's another person out there that's going through another one just like you. But I've seen the captain smile, and you're gonna come out of this.
Amen. If your fellow brethren have seen storms like this, be sure that God has sailed through much worse. The captain of our salvation stands at the helm of the old ship of Zion, and his face is shining. My God, help us this morning. I come to tell somebody I have seen the captain smile. He's going to pilot this ship through this storm, and you are going to survive in Jesus' name. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You are not going down. You are not going down. You are not going down. You are going over. You are going to make it in Jesus' name. I rebuke every devil, every evil influence. We're going to make it. I saw the captain smile.
Nahum 1 and 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. Listen to this, brother. And will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And the clouds are the dust of his feet. The Lord has his way in the storm. No tempest, no hurricane, no demonic attack can hinder God from fulfilling his plans in your life. The enemy can do nothing to you except first, God examines the strength of the attack. And not only that, but he examines the condition that you're going to be in at the end of the storm. I saw it so plain. God, thank you. I saw that Heavenly Father take that scorching morsel of meat and put it in his own mouth and chew and take the heat out of it before he put it in the child's mouth. And that's what God has done for you. He has already put a control on the intensity and the devastation of this storm. It passed through his fingers before it ever came your way. And God knows that you can handle this. So get up and let God be God, and let God get the glory out of this issue.
I know this kind of preaching becomes cliche. I know that men can come to a place that don't really want to hear someone tell them that they're going to make it. They've been hearing this for weeks and months. And I know that we sometimes come to a place that we would like to sit down and die. We'd like to just get on out of here and get it over with. But it doesn't change the fact that I'm preaching out of God's book this morning. It doesn't change the love of God. It doesn't change the fact that it has brought you out of many storms. And I don't care if you like it or not, you're coming out of this one too. Did it ever occur to you, Job, that God is using this storm to demonstrate to the enemy and to this wicked world around us that he still has men and women, Sister Green, that will pray and seek the face of God in the face of adversity, in the face of struggle, in the face of pain? God is saying, yeah, it's a wicked world, and yeah, there's a lot of backslid people. The devil, let me showcase one of my best. Let me show you what he can go through. And in the end, God is going to give you double for your trouble. Hey,
today. I'm telling you that God is still on the throne this morning.
Did it occur to you? God is smiling. I never had saw that story. Those disciples on that sea. The Bible said Jesus was on a mountain and he saw them. I never had thought about it. I always thought he was watching intently. I changed my mind. I believe he was smiling. I believe he was looking. And I believe a smile came across his face. How can that be? Because he saw the storm was the worst storm. And he saw some men that said, I'm going down for the last time. And Jesus smiled and said, I'm getting ready to show them something they ain't never seen. Whew. My God. I want to share a couple verses with you. Some of those that are here weathering a storm. Psalms 32 and 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Isaiah said, in Isaiah 38 and 17, said, behold, for peace, I had great bitterness. For peace, Satan gave me chaos. For peace, Satan gave me pain. For peace, I had great struggle. For peace, I had storm. That's what Isaiah said. For peace, I had replaced by the east wind. I'd also heard Isaiah say in Isaiah 61 and 3 that God would give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness. Yeah, the devil took my peace and gave me bitterness. But God took my bitterness and gave me joy. My God. I got a little bit more preaching. Would you lift your hands this morning? Let's give God some glory. He's trying to do a work here this morning. I'm going to close. I feel like shouting. Just throw the umbrella away, brother. Let it rain. Man, his wife passed. And he was left with a little 6-7-year-old girl. And I've thought about this myself. Now, if I had no children, I still would have a hard time living without my wife. But I've thought about this particular issue. I couldn't raise two girls. And that man was feeling it. His wife passed. And one night he laid her down and tucked her in. And he went back to his bedroom weeping and crying, praying, God, I can't raise this girl on my own. Why didn't you take me and leave her? And said that he heard the pitter-patter of some little feet coming down the hall. And she said, Daddy, can I sleep with you tonight? He said, yeah, baby. And she got up in the bed. It was pitch black in that room. And she said, Daddy, look at me. He said, baby, it's too dark. You can't even see me. She said, look at me, Daddy. He said, all right, I'm looking at you. She said, smile, Daddy. He said, baby, you can't even see me smile. She said, I don't care. Smile anyway. He said, all right, baby, I'm smiling. He said, why? And she said, even if I can't see your face, Daddy, I know it's going to be all right as long as you're looking at me and as long as you're smiling. And I read in the Word of God, the Bible said, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cries. And I know that the rain is falling, and I know that the lightning is flashing, and I know that the winds are rocking your vessel,
And I know that it's dark all around, and I know that pain and hurting surround us, but I heard God say that the Lord make his face shine upon you, and you may not see him, but he sees you. He sees you. It isn't how important that you know where he's at or if he's looking. Just know he's smiling on somebody this morning.
Stand across the house. Brother Corey, the Lord make his face shine upon you. It means the shining of the sun upon the earth to enlighten, to warm, to renew. Sun shining on the earth, dispelling the dark, pushing the gloom back. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. How I'd like to think this morning this verse is saying, God is smiling upon you. The Lord loves you, and he wants you to know that he loves you. I know that it gets dark sometimes, and sometimes we can't see Jesus. But I want to tell somebody this morning that God is looking upon you with a smile on his face. He's going to keep you. You shall not die but live. And you may feel like Job, and you may say, I cannot see him. But if you don't get anything out of this message this morning, I want you to get this. It's not important that you see him. It is, but it's not as important that you see him as that you know this morning that he sees you. Let's worship him for a moment here. Father, we love you. I didn't come to give no sad, gloomy message this morning. I didn't come to break anybody. I came to tell them that in prayer this week I saw the captain smile. Father, would you strengthen this morning? Smile upon us this morning. Father, I pray that you give someone an assurance this morning. I'm coming out of this one, and I'm coming out alive. And Father, I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's gather around the altars this morning. Let's seek the face of the Lord. Let's talk to him about this storm, this east wind. The captain is still at the helm of the ship. He's still got his hands on the wheel. He's going to guide the old ship of Zion through every storm, every dark night. Have a messed up, torn up plan. I saw the captain smile. When I saw the captain smile, I knew that he had seen storms like this before. And I knew that we were going to be all right. You're going to be all right. I don't care what the devil's told you. I don't care if you want to believe the devil. I hope my voice resonates in your ears. I hope it torments your mind through the night. I can make it. I will make it. I can overcome. I can do all things through Christ. I can. I am more than a conqueror. If you look hard enough, if just for a moment you can quit looking at the storm, if just for a moment you can quit looking at the rain, quit listening to the lightning, the thunder, and you can get yourself out there on the deck of that ship, look in there. You'll see the captain, he's strapped in. He said, I ain't going anywhere, are you? I ain't going down. The only way you're going down is if you jump off the ship. Devil, we ain't got no intentions this morning. Bailing off the ship.